Picture, for a moment, a small wood shop on a quiet Sunday afternoon at the end of the season. The carpenter has been working on commissions all summer and into the early fall, and now the work has slowed down a little. The shelves around the shop are mostly clear, with just a few small projects waiting to be finished. The light through the high windows is the long, low light of late afternoon. The carpenter has swept the floor. He has put away the tools. And now he is doing the thing he does at the end of every season, the small ritual that almost nobody who watches him work has ever seen. He sits down on his workbench, opens a small notebook he keeps in a drawer, and starts to write. He looks back at the work of the last several months. He writes down which commissions went smoothly. He writes down which ones did not. He notes, on one page, the joints he had trouble with on the kitchen table he built in August. He notes, on another, the time he ran out of a particular finish in the middle of a job and had a substitute, and how the substitute turned out to be slightly better, in fact, than the original. He notes the customer who kept changing her mind, and the lesson he took from that, which was to ask for sketches before quoting prices. He notes the saw blade that he kept noticing was dull, but did not replace until it ruined a board, and the rule he made for himself after that. Page by page, the notebook fills up with small, honest observations. None of them are dramatic. None of them are about the things he did well. The notebook is almost entirely a record of what he learned from things that did not go as planned. When he finishes, he puts the notebook back in the drawer. Next season, before he takes a single new commission, he will read it again. The carpenter who starts that season will know just a little bit more than the carpenter who started the last one. Over the years, this small ritual compounds. The carpenter who has been doing this for 30 years is not just a person who has built 30 years of furniture. He is a person who has read the notes from 30 seasons of doing it and made each season's work a little better, deliberately, on purpose. That ritual is what we're going to talk about today. This is Rust, Gently, a patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 28, The Retro. Today we're going to talk about the longest arc skill of working with artificial intelligence agents, the one that almost nobody talks about explicitly, but the one that separates orchestrators who keep getting better year after year from orchestrators who are about the same in their fifth year as they were in their first. We're going to talk about the discipline of looking back. By the end of the episode, you will know what to look at, when to look at it, what to write down, and why the small ritual of a retro is the thing that compounds your skill in this role over time. Let me back up to why this discipline is so often missed. When you are working with an agent, day to day, the pace of work feels fast. A task comes in. You set the agent on it. The agent produces output. You review the output. You merge it. You move on. The next task arrives. The cycle repeats. At the end of the day, you have shipped a lot. At the end of the week, you have shipped a great deal. The temptation, at the end of any given day, is to close the laptop and feel good about the volume of work, and to start fresh the next morning. The trouble with closing the laptop and starting fresh is that you are leaving on the table the most important asset you have. The asset is the pattern of what happened. Not the code itself, which is already in the repository, but the experience of working on it. What did the agent get right the first time? What did it get wrong, and how? Where did you catch a problem early, and where did you only catch it late after wasted effort? Which conventions of yours did the agent pick up easily? And which did you have to repeat several times? What questions did the agent ask that you would have liked it to ask sooner? All of this is happening every day in the texture of the work. But unless you make a deliberate effort to look at it, the pattern fades and you start the next day having to learn everything again. The retro is the deliberate effort. The carpenter's notebook on a Sunday afternoon. The half hour, once a week, or once every couple of weeks, where you stop producing and you start observing what you produced. Let me talk about what to actually do in that half hour, because the temptation when you sit down to do a retro is to write nothing because nothing dramatic comes to mind. Resist that. The good observations are almost always small. Look back at the diffs the agent produced over the past week. Notice the patterns. The agent kept reaching for a particular helper function that already exists somewhere else in the codebase, but did not know about it. Write that down. You can add a note about that helper to the rulebook. The agent kept getting the import paths slightly wrong because your project structure is unusual. Write that down. You can add a single line about the project structure to the rulebook. The agent kept producing tests in a style you had to rewrite. Write that down. You can either add a note about your test style or, better, change the test style yourself to match what the agent produces if the difference is small and the agent's version is fine. Look at the moments where the agent and you disagreed about what to do. Some of those disagreements were the agent being wrong. Some, when you really look, were the agent being right. Write those down too. The retro is not just for noticing the agent's failures. It is also for noticing your own habits that the agent has gently helped you see. Sometimes the agent's instinct on a small piece of architecture is better than yours. Noticing that is part of the work. Look at the moments where you got stuck. Where did you find yourself trying the same thing three times? What did you eventually do that broke the loop? Was there a sign you should have noticed sooner? Was there a move you could have made that you did not? The retro is the place where you take those moments, which were uncomfortable in the moment, and turn them into instructions for your future self. The output of the retro is almost always an update to the rulebook, the claw.md or agents.md file you maintain. The retro produces small, specific edits to that file. Add a line about the convention you kept correcting. Remove a line about a pattern that turned out to be wrong. Tighten a paragraph that was too long. The rulebook is the place where the retro deposits its lessons, so that the next session of the agent starts from a better baseline than the previous one. The work compounds because the rulebook compounds. The agent does not learn over time. You do. The rulebook is how you transfer what you learned into what the agent gets to see next. For you, as the orchestrator, the deeper effect of doing this regularly is harder to describe, but important to name. Over the course of a year of doing retros, you develop something that very few engineers in the previous era ever had time for. You develop a metacognitive view of your own work. You can see from outside how you make decisions, how you respond to friction, what your reflexes are. The agent is, in a strange way, a kind of mirror. The patterns of how the agent gets things wrong are also, often, the patterns of how you mis-explain things or skip steps. Watching the agent over time teaches you about yourself. In the real production environments where serious software is being built with agent help today, the teams that hold a regular retro are the ones whose orchestration skill keeps growing. Their Claude files get sharper. Their prompts get tighter. Their verification gates get smarter. 6 months in, they're working with the same agents as everyone else, but they're getting two or three times the leverage out of those agents that the teams without retros are getting. The compounding is real. The discipline that produces the compounding is the small, regular act of looking back with honest attention at what happened. There's a small specific format I want to suggest because formats lower the activation energy of doing the practice at all. Sit down once a week at the same time if you can manage it for 30 minutes. Open a fresh document. Write the date at the top. Then, under three short headings, fill in what comes to mind. First heading, what went well? Cases where the agent produced exactly what you wanted on the first pass. Cases where the work shipped without friction. Notice these. They are easy to skip over because they did not produce drama, but they're the data points that tell you what is working. Second heading, what kept tripping us up? The patterns of friction. The thing you found yourself correcting more than once. The moment when you almost missed a bug. Third heading, what to change in the rulebook. Concrete edits. New lines to add. Old lines to remove. Specific text. Half an hour, three headings, and the discipline is done for the week. The other thing worth saying about retros is that they're also where you take stock of yourself as the orchestrator, not just of the agent's behavior. The patterns that recur in your sessions are partly the agent's and partly yours. You may notice that you tend to give vague briefs on Wednesdays when you are tired. You may notice that you let the agent run too long without checking in when you are in back-to-back meetings. You may notice that your verification discipline slips on small tasks. None of this is shameful. It is the texture of being a person who does this work. The retro is the place where you see these patterns in yourself with kindness and where you adjust the next week's work in light of what you saw. The agent does not change. You do. The retro is the structured form of that change. For real production work, the teams that have shared their retro practice publicly tend to describe a similar arc. The first month feels awkward. The retros find a lot of small things. The rulebook gets edited often. The second month, the obvious things have been addressed. The retros start to find subtler patterns. The third month, the rulebook is stable. The retros start to feel almost boring because there is less to fix. This is not because the practice has lost its value. It is because the orchestration has gotten good and the practice is now doing its quieter compounding job. The teams that stop doing retros at this point tend to regress. The teams that keep going, even when it feels redundant, keep finding the small refinements that keep them ahead. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that the work of being an orchestrator produces, every day, a stream of small observations about how you and the agent are working together, and unless you make a deliberate effort to notice them, those observations fade. The second is that the practice of the retro, sitting down for half an hour every week or two to look at the diffs, the disagreements, the moments of getting stuck, and writing the lessons into your rulebook, is the discipline that compounds your skill in this role over time. The third is that over months and years, the orchestrators who hold this discipline pull steadily away from those who do not, even when they're working with the same agents on the same kinds of problems, because their leverage keeps growing while everyone else's stays flat. Next time on Rust, gently, we're going to step away from the orchestrator's role and back into the broader story of the language. We're going to look at one of the most visible and most felt waves of Rust adoption in the entire industry, the quiet rewriting of all the slow developer tools in your daily life. The new generation of search tools, linters, formatters, and package managers that almost without exception turn out to be Rust under the hood and dramatically faster than what they replaced. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.